turn to the book of Galatians. This is Paul's magnificent letter about the freedom that we have in Christ from the guilt and the shame of sin. And it's been called the Magna Carta of the Reformation because it is a letter about freedom from guilt, freedom from death, freedom from the curse of Adam, and freedom to life and righteousness in the Lord Jesus. So far in the letter, Paul has mostly been speaking about justification, that we are declared righteous. So what is justification? Justification is an act of God's grace in which he declares us righteous based on Christ's death and his obedience alone, received by faith alone. And so justification is a verdict we receive because of what Christ has done. But here now, toward the end of the letter, we're getting to a place where Paul is going to speak of sanctification. That we aren't just justified in Jesus, but there's a second blessing we receive. Not separate from the first, but they come together. That the moment we are united to Christ by faith through the Spirit, we're justified, and then by faith, we're also sanctified. That means we're made more and more holy. We're made more and more like the Lord Jesus. And so let's read this morning Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Spirit who brings Christ to us by faith, the Spirit who applies all of his blessings to us, and that looking at Jesus, we see the whole triune God in him, and we're conformed to him more and more, drawn up further and further into a living communion with him, to know him and to make him known, and that we're transformed, Lord, into people who love. And so, Lord, we pray you teach our minds and our hearts today, and that you would make us people who not merely understand the word, but who take it into our hearts and who trust the Lord Jesus of the word and who walk by the Spirit. And we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. Well, our passage this morning is about the conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. There's a war. Do you feel it? Do you feel the war if you're a believer? That you want to do what is right and that you don't? Have you ever wanted to do something right and right in the moment of maybe you've just been praying, maybe you've just been thinking about how to live like a Christian, and right then sometimes there's a temptation or emotion of your heart and you do something wrong. And there's a war within you and the fight is real. And if you're a believer, you know this fight. It is the fight of every believer. Believers want to know Christ. Believers want to obey the Lord Jesus. They want it intensely. And the more we grow in Christ, the more we want to honor Christ and to keep his commandments. But something else happens as we grow in Christ too. We see more of our sin. We can feel the motions of the sin in our hearts that we previously never felt like we do now. And they surge within us. And the war is intense. But the more we see our sin, the more we feel the power of sin within us, the more we see the beauty of Christ, his all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross, his atoning death, his love for poor sinners like us. This is the story of the Christian life that Paul is talking about, and our passage today begins to teach us how to fight this war, that there's a way to fight this war. And here in verse 16, Paul gives a command. Do you see that? He says, walk by the Spirit, something you must do. The word is not just in English, but in the Greek, it's in an imperative. You remember what that means, an imperative? It's a command word. This is not a suggestion. This is not good advice. This is God commanding you and me to walk by the Spirit. It's a continual way of life for the Christian. And what that means is we have to do something. We must not be passive. You know, there's some Christians who understand the sovereignty of God, and they know that once God saves a believer, he keeps them, which is true. He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And yet, if we think of those doctrines and we think, well, that means I must not have to fight. I must not be responsible to do anything. Then we're misunderstanding the Bible, because the Bible here tells us we must walk by the Spirit. We're going to see what that means in a moment, but before we look at what it means to walk by the Spirit, maybe it would be helpful to see how Paul uses that word through all of his letters. So what does Paul think? What's he thinking of when he says walk? Well, the word occurs many times in Paul's letters, but I want to read just a few of them. In Romans 6:4, Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So walking has to do with thinking, feeling, and living in a new life, in a new way of life. Romans 13:13, Paul says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime." So there's an improper way to walk, and there's a proper way to walk. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now, there are people who today teach that good works have nothing to do with the believer. You're saved by grace. No such thing as, don't worry about your good works. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. You are saved by grace through faith. Your good works cannot save you, and yet you are saved unto good works. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2:10, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You have to walk in them. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love." You are not going to fall into love. Biblical love isn't something you can stumble into. Oh, I fell in love. No, you don't fall in love. You might fall into something, but not love. Love is patient and kind. Love sacrifices ourself for another. Love serves and dies and gives and keeps on doing it out of a sincere desire to do the other good. Love dies to self for the benefit of another. That's why Paul says, walk in love. So we're considering, what does this word walk mean in Paul's mind? Because we have a command here, walk by the Spirit, but what does he mean when he thinks of walk? Well, there's another place. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." That means it's got something to do with our thinking, with the God we know. How do you become wise? It takes a lifetime to become wise. You become wise by knowing Jesus, by knowing his word thoroughly. There's no shortcut. Knowing who he is, what he's like, all that he's done, searching the mystery of his wounds on the cross, learning all the ways in which he is altogether lovely, that he has all authority, and yet is supremely humble. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, who is in himself wisdom. And when we learn him through learning his whole word, we will know how to walk, not as unwise, but as wise. There's something you have to do with your thinking. This is where the battle to walk by the Spirit is won or lost in your mind. Are you fighting in the mind? Many don't. They just, well, whatever my mind does is what it does, and they don't take responsibility for their thoughts. And they just think that's who I am. They might try to act differently on the outside, but they don't take hold of their thoughts. That's what wisdom begins with, is what we believe, who we believe, and learning how to think as Christ himself thinks. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, you ought to walk to please God. So the Bible has a lot to say about walking in Christ. There are many who write on the Christian life today, and you can find books on this, and they speak as though faithful Christianity is passive. Have you heard this? That if you're a really mature Christian, you've learned how to let go and let God. Should just trust the Lord and be passive, not do anything. And then somehow you'll become holy through that. Others speak of living a surrendered life. You heard that language? You won't find that in the Bible, to surrender. Instead, what the Bible teaches is that we're to trust and obey. Those are active words. Now, there's a passive aspect of faith, which is resting in Jesus, so certainly that's true. But the same faith that rests in Christ actively lives and walks in love and good works, the Bible teaches. And so the Christian life is not a passive life. We cannot relax into holiness. You will not become holy by coming to church every week, as though somehow that magically that will affect you, because it won't. The Bible teaches we have to walk by the Spirit. In fact, it says we should do more than walk. There's more than one place that teaches we're to run. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then the next phrase is going to turn out to be the heart of it all, looking to Jesus. We're to run. This is a short life. You are flesh. I'm flesh. The Bible says all flesh is grass. You're going to be dead before you know it, and so am I. What are you doing? What am I doing? Are we walking by the Spirit? This is the reason we get up in the morning. This is the reason that we're made. This is the best way to live, to be filled with the fullness of God. It's the happiest way to live. It doesn't mean you're going to have a sorrow-free life. It certainly doesn't mean you're not going to suffer, because you will. But it's still the best way to live, is to walk by the Spirit. But what does it even mean to walk by the Spirit? Many struggle with what that means. Like, if the Spirit is the one who works in us, how can we walk by the Spirit? What does that mean? Well, books have been written again on how to listen to the Spirit. Well, you should listen to the Spirit, but it might not be like you think. Many today teach about listening for his still small voice, or learning how to be in the very center of God's perfect will for your life. But the Bible doesn't talk that way. Those are not biblical words. Those are not biblical concepts. In fact, I think you'll see, if you look with me in the passage, it tells us exactly what it's talking about. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, look with me again at verse 18. Let's read on to verse 18. So verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. And then verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, which means you're not under the curse of the law. That's what that means. Then verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. What he's about to do is he's going to contrast works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. So walking by the Spirit means walking in such a way so as to put on the fruit of the Spirit by faith, as opposed to living according to the works of the flesh. So look at the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. That's first often in Paul's vice lists, sexual immorality, because it is a window into darkness. It's an easy way for the devil to seduce you. And then he gets the foothold and he goes further and further. Sexual immorality, impurity, that's also sexual sin. Sensuality, which means sins that are based on our senses, physical pleasures through the eyes, through touch. Sensuality. And then there's sins of worship, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. You say, well, maybe we don't do sorcery anymore, but the root of that is the word we get our word pharmacology from. And I think there is sorcery going on today. People using drugs and doing wicked things. So sorcery, enmity. Now these are sins of anger that affect your relationships. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And then drunkenness is tied in with the sins of anger and orgies. And things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you live that way, you won't go to heaven. That's what this says. It doesn't mean that you don't have those temptations, you do, or that they don't emerge within you or come out sometimes in certain ways, but it does mean you don't live in those sins if you're a believer. You repent of them. And then, so what's it mean to walk by the Spirit? What's the effect of walking by the Spirit? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love, which is the opposite of sexual immorality, by the way. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those are all those works of the flesh are passions. They're inordinate desires that are wicked. And those who are in Christ have crucified those with Christ. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit, is to bear that kind of fruit. But what does it mean then to walk by it? How do we put on this fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul already teaches us what it means back in chapter 3. If you turn with me to Galatians 3, verses 1 to 3, Paul tells us about the Holy Spirit and how we receive Him and how we walk in Him. So Galatians 3, verse 1. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians. Why were they foolish? Because they were trying to work for righteousness before God. They thought they could add to God's, to the work of Christ. And so Paul says, you're foolish. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, this is important. So here's what Paul's saying, that these Galatians, they did not actually see the crucifixion of Jesus, just like you haven't. They didn't see Jesus any more than you did. These are Christians in modern day Turkey. They hadn't seen the crucifixion of Christ. So how was Christ portrayed publicly as crucified to them? It was through preaching. Christ was portrayed publicly through the preaching of the cross. Do you see him? There he is, Jesus, beaten, bloody, bruised, the flesh torn off of his back, carrying a cross till he collapsed and someone carried it for him up the hill of Golgotha, nailed to that cross by wicked men. And then the cross lifted up and dropped into the hole, a crown of thorns on his head, blood flowing down from his nail-pierced wounds and from his head. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He bore our sins in his body. This is Jesus. And then he died and he went into the tomb. And 3 days later, he came out of the tomb. He rose from the dead because he bought life. Christ is publicly portrayed as crucified. Then verse 2. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So there, you just heard Christ and him crucified. How do you receive him? By working for him? No, you hear and you believe. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, obviously, by hearing with faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? How do you go on in your sanctification? You think, oh, well, I'm going to achieve love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control by mustering up the strength, gutting it up, and doing what Jesus says. That's not going to work out. And this is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. You have to know Christ and trust him personally. It's personal. It's not about you achieving love. You're never going to achieve love like you should. Neither am I. But if you look at Jesus, the Lord of love, you can grow in love. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit. What does it mean? This is the case that I'm making. It's here in your mind first. You walk by the Spirit by looking at Jesus. How do you look at him? Not just by reading the last part of the four Gospels on the crucifixion. You look at Jesus by knowing the whole Bible, staying in it. That the Word of God is your food to know Christ and him crucified and risen, the Lord of lords, the one who has come and who's coming again, and seeing him there and trusting him. So how is it that we learn to love? You know, there's one fruit of the Spirit. We'll see this later in another message. There's only one. That has multiple qualities. So you can't have love without joy and peace and patience. You can't. There's this one grace. Singular fruit in the Greek. The fruit of the Spirit. But how do we learn how to love? Well, we can only love God and love others when we see Jesus on the cross. Do you see him? You think on him? His blood poured out for wretched sinners, for you. Not because you love him, but because he loved you. And you can learn to love God and others when you look to Christ and his love. This is how a husband learns to love his wife, and a wife learns to love her husband. And you say, well, why are you talking about marriage now? Because that's what the Bible does over and over. Where do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Where do we walk by the Spirit? At the end of Galatians and Colossians and the New Testament epistles. It's in family, and it's in the church, and it's in a community around us. But marriage is the cauldron. It's the first place we have to walk by the Spirit. So how does a husband learn to love his wife? Well, he doesn't love her conditionally only if she pleases him. And she doesn't love him only if he pleases her. Why? Christ doesn't love us conditionally. Rather, a husband loves his wife, and a wife loves her husband because Christ loves them freely and laid down his life for them. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love." You know it. "Not that we have loved God." Which of you is bold enough to stand up and say, "I love God"? Well, you might say that, but you'd have to temper that a little, wouldn't you? Like, "But not like I should." "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." He absorbed the wrath of God in your place. And so do you see how we walk by the Spirit through faith in Christ to teach us to love? The fruit of the Spirit includes love, but also joy. So we're talking about how to walk by the Spirit. You have to think of Jesus to grow in love. You have to trust in Jesus to love. You have to trust in Jesus to rejoice. How can you learn to rejoice? Well, we can only learn joy, which is different from happiness. You might be happy because you get ice cream tonight, you know, or because you get to go on a bike ride. That's not joy. Joy, biblically, is rejoicing in Christ, who is the true good. And you can only learn joy by looking at Christ's death and his resurrection by faith, trusting him for every spiritual blessing. And even in the face of sorrows and griefs in this world, we can have joy in hope of life everlasting, the promise of an eternal inheritance, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who loves us. And so we walk by the Spirit to put on love and joy and also peace. Notice this is a command. These are not good ideas. These aren't suggestions. This is not a self-help talk. I'm not giving you a pep talk. I'm telling you what Christ commands you and me. These are not options. You must walk by the Spirit. This is what it means to be a Christian. Now, we do that poorly sometimes. We fail and we have to repent of it. No one's saying we do this perfectly, but you must do it in your mind. Walk by the Spirit for love and joy, but also peace. How do you live in peace? Well, Jesus Christ died to make peace between God and man. And he died to make peace between men. The book of Hebrews says to pursue holiness, without which none will see the Lord. And it also says to pursue holiness and peace with all. So far as it depends on you. Children can live at peace with each other in the home when they trust that Jesus made peace with them. They can live at peace with their parents. We can live at peace with one another in the church, which means we have to forgive each other in our homes, parents and children, to forgive. What is forgiving? It's canceling a debt. It's saying, you know what I deserve? You know how the only way to forgive is this. It's I deserve to go to hell. And that sin that person committed, I've sinned like that, and I deserve to go to hell. But Jesus took it for me, and he forgave me. And so I can forgive. I can cancel a debt. And forgiveness is not something you can just do once, especially if there's a deep offense. You have to forgive over and over and over and remember over and over by faith all that Jesus has done. To forgive, which is letting go of sinful anger and learning how to love. But do you see the point that I'm making? How do you walk by the Spirit to put on the fruit of the Spirit? It's by faith in Jesus. Because what does the Spirit do all through the New Testament? He takes our eyes of faith, points them to the Word of God, wherein Jesus is revealed. The Spirit points us to Christ, and Christ shows us his redeeming love and power, and that he's worthy of all worship. And so there today, what we've tried to see is that we're to walk by the Spirit, and it begins in the mind. And I would urge you today to do what God says today, this week, to think on Jesus and to put on the fruit of the Spirit. See what happens. And I don't mean that in doing an experiment. I mean, see if it's not true that God keeps his promises. It might entail some kind of suffering in your life to really do what he commands, but it will involve the knowledge of God and Jesus. And you'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. So today's message is a call to walk by the Spirit and not to gratify the desires of the flesh. And the great hope and promise of Christ is that one day we will be free from all sin and that we will walk by the Spirit perfectly in heaven, which is a world of love and joy and peace forever. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love to us, and that you've given us your Spirit, who sets our eyes upon Jesus, the Lord of life and glory, and that Jesus reveals God and all of his mercy and love. And so help us to trust him and to walk one day at a time by faith, that we would bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. In his name, amen.